But I'm bringing to you a message today from John 15, and I will focus only on verses from 9 to the to 17. In this text, I want to pick up on the word of Jesus himself, which he says to his disciples, I have loved you. I have loved you. And he is saying to you now also, I have loved you. I have loved you. And this love is not just like love. This is, you see that in the title. You are greatly loved, because that is what he says. There is greater love has no one than this. You see, this is the love that he, with which he has loved us. You see, he didn't say, I love you, or I will love you. He said, I have loved you. You see, so it is something in the past, is the reality. That is what he has declared, and he was saying to his disciples and those who have come and saw in him the Savior, the Lord, the Master, the one who brought about the kingdom of God, where their hearts will be transformed and their righteousness will be real, will be true, and then they will be free to love God and to know him. Well, today he is, if you don't know this, or maybe you forget this, but because we tend to forget this, isn't it? And we run into a lot of troubles because we would just have different views about ourselves, what God thinks about us. You see, so then we just leave him alone, and then we try to really entertain thoughts that are not of God. You see, but here, you see, even a struggling person like Daniel, he would hear this from the Lord, greatly loved. You see, even before you appear before me. And so as if what the Lord wants is this knowledge, the fact that he wants us to know that he loves us. This is what Jesus was doing with his disciples. I have loved you. And today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. It's clear demonstration that we are greatly loved by God. And Jesus Christ, definitely, this is what he's saying. Because the Holy Communion is about the love of God, isn't it? It's about the love of God. And that is why we hold fast to this. Because as we come and participate in the Lord's Supper, we remember the Lord. We remember the great love with which our God has loved us. He declared, I have loved you. And then now he will say, just how is this love is revealed? He said, just as the Father loved me, you see, so I love you. So his Father loved him. And he says, this love I have from my Father. And Jesus didn't elaborate on this, in what ways, how did his Father loved him. But we could gather from the whole word of God, like Jesus Christ shared in the deity of his Father. This is how he is raised up. He got the name that is above all other name, and to become the second person of the Trinity, to be the Son of God. And you see, and also to share this unity with his Father. And that is what he's saying. He shared this, the creator of the whole universe. You see? And if we want to do a bit of theology, he is the word with which God really created the whole world. He was there from the very beginning. This is how Jesus has been loved by his Father. You see, to share with him in all his activities. You see? And Jesus, the word that was with God, who was God, became flesh, and we have seen his glory. This is Jesus there who is speaking and telling us that my Father has loved me. You see, and so if my Father has loved me, you see, and then I shared in all his glory. I shared in all his holiness. Jesus is the only human being without sin, if we can call him, you see. He is without sin. That is why he was qualified, really, to represent us. Because as Job said, who can stand between me and God? Who can put his both hand, one on God and one on us? And of course, no one who is sinless that can touch God. It's only Jesus. And there is no one who loved us dearly than Jesus, who would just stand between us and his Father and mediate for us. So this is what he's saying. He said, look, my Father has loved me. Just as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, you realize that he's talking about obedience here. He said, this love, I want you to continue in this love, isn't it? Because it's not just good enough that we know that we are loved. Yes, that is good. But Jesus' heart is, he wants us to continue to receive this abundant love that is from God. Because why we forget that and we go away as people who are not precious in the sight of God. So Jesus here is urging us to remember this, to abide in this love. He said, remain. I mean, like he said, obey. And this is what he says, like how we are going to continue to enjoy this love. If you obey my commands. Earlier he talks about remaining. And if I just underline the word remaining in the first part, 1 to 8, 1 to 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, just like in 12, like this is what he was using. And then this is what he was saying. As branches, he used agricultural metaphor, really, as he says, he is the vine, he is the true vine, and we and his Father is the gardener, and we are the branches. And he wants us to be fruitful and to flow in fruitfulness and to be pruned and to bring glory to God. And as we are bringing fruits, we are rejoicing, you see? So we are in intimate relationship with him. But now he is saying, the way in which by you can stand, you can continue to receive this love, is to obey. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And then he uses himself as his standard. He said, I have remained in my Father's love. You see, there were no point where Jesus didn't abide. Where that love really was cut off, there was no time. There were no point. No point at all. He was with the Father all the time because he was an obedient child, just as I have obeyed my Father. My Father's commands, and remain in his love. He remained all the way. Now, the first day Jesus stepped into this world, and actually that obedience, he started even from the heaven. He humbled himself. He trusted his Father. He emptied himself. Philippians 2. You see, I kept referring to that a lot. See, he humbled himself, and then he came into this world. He obeyed his Father, you see, and then he came and he lived a life perfect, free of sin, and really committed to the love of the Father for us. Because that is what he's saying. Because for God so loved the world, you see. So Jesus saw the love of Father for us. And you see, and Jesus loved us. And then he came into this world. So he asks us, my love for you, this is what he's saying. My love for you is complete, just as I have just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So the aorist, like the Greek form of this word, means really this love is complete. It's perfect. It's a perfect love. And now Jesus is saying, his relationship with his Father is the paradigms. His love for the Father, his Father's love for us, is a paradigm for us and to shape really our love, our relationship with him, Jesus Christ himself. For the relationship between Jesus and his disciples and us, is that is the standard. This complete and perfect love Jesus calls great love. And for us to know the extent to which Jesus has loved us, he says, this love is amazing. Because this love, he said, that someone would give, would lay down his life for his friends. So here there is a tension here, isn't it? So we are enemies with God. And so God was loving enemies. And now why Jesus is saying that he is laying his life for his friends, you see. Well, now we know that at this point Jesus is not crucified, isn't it? But he is telling them that I'm going to the cross for you. I am going to the cross. This is how much I love you. And so this is going to be the characteristic of his, or will characterize his followers, his those who love him. They will be his friends. That is what he's saying. You are my friends. And this is what I'm going to do for you. It's not just because they are his friends and now he is going to die for them because they are his friends. No. You see, Jesus died for his enemies, isn't it? Yeah, we are his enemies. But actually, as he died for us, really, as he died for us, you see, as we abide, as we remain, as we love him dearly, as we remain in him, and then Jesus said, you are my friends. That is what this word is saying. You are my friends if you do what I command. If you do what I command. Jesus can never condone or will never reveal himself greatly to those who are disobeying him. He cannot disclose even this love so much. You cannot enjoy this love. Because this is what he's saying. Is I'm just doing this, reminding you, and if you do this, I don't want to go ahead of myself. So he talk about joy, isn't it? And things like that. Joy that comes from obedience. He wants us to continue in this love. He wants us to remain in this love. He wants us to be truly his friends. Because he says, as you obey, as you remain, I will disclose secrets to you. That is what happens between friends. You see? And we are fascinated about the word servant, being the servant of God. You see? And Jesus wants us to be friends, you see. Even our service for him is voluntarily, you see. Because of the love that we have for him, we would want to do anything for him. He doesn't demand it, but he wants us to be his friends, to tell us the secrets of the kingdom of God, to know the power of God, to know the love of God every day, and to have the joy that he wants to pour out into our hearts, into our lives, as obedient children of God. And Jesus is saying the only way by which we can continue in this love is to obey. As he himself has obeyed his Father and continued to obey to the point of the cross of Calvary. And then on the cross, and then it is finished. You see, he finished it all together. He showed us that. And Jesus, when he speaks, he knows that he can enable us to do this. You are my friends if you do what I command. You see, you are my friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. You see, this is another level of relationship with God. You see, so. And that is why you see in the history of the prodigal son, isn't it? So we should all want to be the prodigal son. To know the love of the father. Because the older boy, son, he didn't know the love of the father. You see? And just because this boy, he acted and he knows that really there was a divine revelation from God. God revealed to him the love of his father, that even though he went low and he was so bad, that if he returns and confesses his sins and his dependence on his father, and then his father will just open. You see, there was a feast and there was like the fattest things, and so That is what Jesus wants us to do. He said, look, you just don't want to hear the second-hand things. You see, you need to hear the fresh revelation. You need to know what I'm doing in this world. You need to know what I'm doing with this boss who is not good enough. You see, who is against you, who is just like abusing you, who disadvantage you or take advantage of you over many years. I see all these things. All that you need to know, obey me. Act godly. In a godly way, you see. So he sees these things. Wow. And now Jesus is saying, let me go back. He said, I'm telling you these things. Let me go verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remains in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. He is reminding us so that we have the confidence, we have the peace and the rest and the joy of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much. And this joy, now you see, is his joy. He said his joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Isn't it? So I have told you this so that my joy, purpose clause, so that my joy may be in you. The joy of the Lord is not our joy. And now this joy will become our joy. This is what he's saying. So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now there is a transition. What is this joy that Jesus is speaking about? The power, the strength. The strength of God, the power of God will be complete in us. Now it's become ours. Like in Nehemiah, it says like the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's with this joy, we will be able to do things. With this joy, with this confidence and the power of God with us, the evidence of his presence, of his work in us, will enable us to go to witness, to testify, and to really attract others, like this young man yesterday. And he showed actually some photos. First thing he showed us is a young man that Michael was talking about, this candidate from the college who gave his testimony about how he came to know the Lord. He was as a Catholic boy, you know, that when they are catechized, and so they were dressed, and this boy, he was like an angel, like amazing clothes, and he was just like. And then another photo with this Christian young men, youth, actually 18, 17, and things like that, that they were godly. And this man said, what they had really attracted me to them. They were real Christians. They cared for him. They looked after him. Even though they knew that he was against the Lord, and then later on they invited him to come. They invited him to come with them into like youth groups. And all began there. Really Christian and caring. And also he talked about a girl. That girl, he said, this girl, she was different from others. She was a Christian. She was the only person willing to hear all his stuff, which were negative. And she was still kind. And asking him questions, that caused him to think and really gave. I nearly asked him, did you go on to marry that girl? Because she was so delightful, but was just incredible. And so this is the confidence we will have. This is the joy of the Lord, of the fact that the Lord is in our lives. And as we are obeying his words, as we are walking with him, you are, my joy will be complete in you. So here it's talking about completeness, the fullness of what Christ gives is sufficient, is enough for us to be able to live through all the challenges of this world and to testify and to trust and to wait and to forgive and to love others, because we know we have been greatly loved. You see, and if the Lord God is for us, who can be against us? And as we have clear conscience, as we set ourselves apart as friends of Christ, because in our secret places, he will just put his finger on the things. What is your attitude? Are you just working for yourself, or you are just counting everybody else as far more important than yourself? Or can you give your life on others? Because we are to obey him. Because as he gave his life, because he said, as I love you, love one another. And then he gave us these commands, and I want to finish with. He said this. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. You see why it is important for us to love each other? You see, again, we call this is a family trait, isn't it? A trademark, isn't it? And so Jesus said that. He said, the world will know if you have love for one another that you are truly my disciple. That truly you have come to know this love and that you are abiding in this love. You see, and that you are having joy, and your joy actually is complete. Love one another. This is the framework. This is the paradigm. This is how I work. Love one another. You heard me a few weeks ago. I said, this friend of mine is just so funny, Father Daniel. He said, if we have good relationship with our God in heaven, that you call vertical, and we fail to have good relationship among one another and to love one another here. He said, you will be like someone who was born in a hot weather and then now suddenly he's taking into a cold weather and he's getting sick all the time and like his immune system is just like, I thought, oh, that is me. See, so it will not be complete. That is why Jesus is saying the way in which we can demonstrate the fact that we are remaining in the love of our Father and that we are remaining in the love of Jesus Christ is to love one another. You cannot be an authentic Christian if you didn't have that divine love, that care, that natural love that is from God. You see, the agape love for Christians. I always say, my thrilling moments is when I'm traveling and then I meet up with a new Christian I have never met. Are you a Christian? You say, yes, I'm a Christian. So I just love that because it's just incredible. Because you know that it's what you are interacting with is the love of God. There's someone who is remaining in Christ. And you see, and now Jesus said, he got his disciples. And you see, wherever they might be, that is why we pray for our Christians. Wherever they are, and you see, this is the divine work of God. Actually, you see, even people from every walk, whenever they come across each other, they love each other because they hold to the same worldview. You see, there's something that binds them, whatever it might be. You see, if you find a group of scientists that are studying the same things, oh, they gravitate around each other, isn't it? You see. There's something like that. This is how God does things. And how much more if it's God and his own people. And this love is found nowhere else. And you see, when you meet these people, the Christians, you see, you have a natural flow from yourself. When I travel, I have a lot of lovely Christians I meet. There is a one man who is in Brisbane, is very controversial, but this guy I consider is the most fundamentalist Christian I have ever known. When people really come out, really speaking against Christianity, and especially there are some people preaching really other gods in South Sudan, and really speaking against Christianity and criticizing Christian, this man, he would just leave his politics aside, and he would just come out. And they say, well, look, if you want to destroy Christianity, we will destroy what you believe in. You see? So he would just speak, and my heart is just like rejoice, this man. Now, to finish, so Jesus commands us to love one another. And now, he says we are his friends because he shows us everything. Are you hearing the Lord? Are you really seeking to know what he's saying? Because this is how we can check whether we are in relationship with him, whether we are really listening to him. Yeah, you see, because he disclosed everything from his Father to us. I have made known to you. Everything I have learned there, I have made known to you. The Father's love for us, Jesus demonstrated it to us. The Father's care and how he got everything. The whole world is under his hand. And he will care. And also how he will change the governments of the whole world and kingdoms. And that's just for you. He will change laws just like to make a way for you as one person who trusts him. See, he can change, he remove your boss in just in a minute. You don't have to fight for it in ungodly ways. So he said this. And now he's saying like, that is out of his mercy. We didn't choose him. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. You see, That is his choice. Not because of any righteousness in us. Not because we are good. That is his mere choice. You see, that is the freedom of God. To make you and I his friends. And to disclose to us the love of the Father. And to know his joy, his power, his strength, and everything else. And to enjoy his word. And to enjoy the Holy Spirit. And to know how to pray. I remember I said to Ken Harris, a former minister of the church. So we were meeting here one Wednesday. And so we broke up into a small group praying. It was a very cold Friday night. You see, and then we came back together. And then just like final moments. And he said, oh, he was saying, oh, it was really very cold. And I said, what? You know, when I'm praying, I don't feel cold. You see? So I hope all of us, when we are having the tender love of Christ in our hearts, really, when we are come across a great word of God that would warm our hearts, we don't feel anything. No fear, no cold, nothing, even hunger. You can't feel that. And so now he shows us, and not only that, he appointed us, he appointed you to go and bear fruit. You see, even to bear fruit is the appointments. But we need to know that. We are to abide. We are to remain. We are to obey. We are to love one another. And all, because he has done this already. These are things he has done. And if anything is not happening, it's not because he hasn't done it. You see, because we are getting entangled. We are getting entangled in disputes, in worldly things, in fear and disobedience, in the things of this world and things that would hinder this great appointment that we bear fruit, that we win souls and we encourage those who are suffering. You see, the church is very slow, I must tell you, friends. The church is very slow. I tell you, we as a denomination, Presbyterian Church, we have more money than any few countries in Africa or even in Asia. Just one denomination. And yet today, we are so fascinated about how we look after this money in a godly way. Okay, that is a good thing. It's not bad. How about if to help someone that the Lord is calling us to help them with this finance? Which one would be better? After all, they are sitting in a bank, but they are not using them. Maybe the Lord will just say, look, I have gave you these things so that you can make an impact in the world. You see, with these resources I have given you. And after all, is the one to judge us whether we have been good stewards or not. It's not even you. All that you need to do, are you abiding? Are you honest? Are you walking in the light? Are you transparent about these things? You see, you have a committee of 203,000 people. If you want to establish your integrity, if you want to say that I am a man who does not get corrupt. See, there are many ways that God can use us. Do this. God sees after all these things. He sees even our hearts. Maybe even our motive to hold into money is just a cover up of our lack of love for people. And that might be the case. And then I was told, like the refugees now who have just run out from South Sudan, they are greatly helped by Christians in Gambela more than any other places in the world. Even one person, what they will give, like 200 people, what they will give, can be equivalent to what one or five people can give from Australia. Just imagine. And yet it's considered to be what is making impact. So we are appointed to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So fruit that will last to eternity. Winning a soul. Oh yeah. I want to finish with this illustration I just heard. Because as this fruit lasts, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Prayers here, Metis. There are things that will go before prayers. And when you come and pray, you can be assured that the Lord will hear your prayers. But you can go on for thousands of years praying. The Father will not answer your prayers if you are breaking his laws, if you are disobeying him. You cannot. You see, I tell you, there's a lady who has gone through a lot, a Southern Sudanese lady. And this story was told to me this afternoon by Susan Shuata. This lady, Mary Nyabiel, who has suffered so much. Her children in different things and sort, with mental health and issues, a lot of issues. This lady, she was in Cairo. And so this boy came from the streets, like the street boys. Said, could you give me some money to buy food? And then she just opened her bags and then she gave her some. And then he went again and he came back. He said, could you please give me money so that I can buy food for my friends? And then she looked and then she just opened also her bag and gave him money. And this boy went and also he came back the third time. You see, he said, please could you give me some money so that I help someone or something like that. And then when she opened her bag to give this boy this money, the third time, this boy broke down and wept and wept and wept so much because he was just blown away by this love of this stranger woman. You see, God really got closer to that man, that woman that time, because God was at work to show what he can do when we love, when we obey the voice of the Lord. May the Lord grant us grace to know that we have been greatly loved. Not to be loved, but we have been greatly loved. And may the Lord grant us that we abide and trust and obey his words as we hear and seek to hear him more and go and as friends of Christ.